I call the meeting to order. Today is May 9th, 2022, 7 o'clock in the Township Hall. This is the Genoa Township Zoning Commission. And I'm going to wait for Mr. Schaefer. And we'll do the roll.
Roll call, Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Present.
Mr. Leff?
Here.
Mr. Moore?
Present.
Mr. Welch?
Here.
And Mr. Sears?
Present.
All right, I'll note Ms. Walsh did inform me that she would be absent this evening.
Okay. Statement of policy, so this meeting may be recorded. Such recordings are public record, may be posted online, and could be subject to review in court. As is the adopted policy of the Zoning Commission, all applicants will be granted an opportunity to make their formal presentation. The audience may then be granted an opportunity to comment, followed by the applicant's response and questions from the commission. The chairperson may limit repetitive debate and reserves the following rights: to limit comment to items on the agenda, to limit public comment to 5 minutes per person, to restrict the number of times a member of public is permitted to speak, and to enact any other reasonable ad hoc protocols or measures necessary to maintain a fair, safe, and orderly meeting. This policy was adopted by the commission to provide for the respectful, constructive, and efficient discussion of business scheduled for the consideration and to allow for proper due process as required by law. So to start off, I was not here the last meeting, and I want to say congratulations to Mr. Sears and to Mr. Carter for now being on the commission. So great to have you guys here. With that, we have minutes to review.
I'd like to congratulate Mr. Leff for being railroaded as the chair.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed most of being able to watch the proceedings live for the most part and then catching the very end in the conversation. And congratulations, Mr. Vice President.
You're welcome.
As well.
So, thank you.
Yes. So you guys had a lot of fun the last meeting. So. With that,
I will move to approve the March 14th, 2022 meeting minutes as presented.
Second.
Joe?
Roll call, Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
Mr. Carter? Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Leff?
Yes. Motion passes. Thank you.
Well, you were here.
What? You were. March meeting.
March. Oh, shit.
I was here for the March
Sorry.
Meeting.
Strike that. My apologies.
All right.
Let me go out and start over. Come back in and start over again.
The time is now 7:03. I call this meeting to order. Romanelli and Hughes Building Company requesting approval of a final development plan amendment to eliminate the pedestrian path and play area on 2.85 acres at 4505 Speranza Loop, Galena, Ohio 43021, open space of Mirasol Section 2, Lot 7967, currently zoned Planned Residential District, PRD, zoning case number 2022-01. Joe, since we're doing what we're doing, do we need to go through that process?
Or? We should.
Okay.
Swear anyone who wishes to speak.
If anybody wishes to speak on behalf of this hearing, please rise. Now raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Legal notice for this meeting was printed and published on January 29th, 2022 in the Delaware Gazette and posted at the Genoa Township Hall on January 20th, 2022. An attempt to mail notice of this hearing to property owners within 500 feet of the subject property was also made. The following were exhibits were added or amended. Exhibit G, all public comments received between December 22nd, 2021 and May 9th, 2022. Mr. Schaefer, the floor is yours.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question first of Mr. Schaefer prior to your presentation? Mm-hmm. Did we receive any of the documents from Romanelli and Hughes that we requested? And in particular, the documents I requested were any sales materials that were offered during the period of time that they sold the lots or presumed to build on the lots. Have we received any of that as of yet?
We have not received any materials from this applicant since the original okay. application.
All right, thank you.
Which
thank
I think
you,
probably ties into what I'm about to talk about.
Very well.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as I communicated to the commission this morning, the applicant has requested this application be tabled. I received that request, I think, late Friday. Mr. Leff looks a little confused. Perhaps I accidentally left him off the email.
I didn't get it.
Oh, I could have sworn I sent it. Maybe I meant to send it out, but didn't hit send. Oh, okay.
I did as well.
Okay, so. Somewhere something went awry, but however, the applicants requested a tabling. So essentially what happened is they asked late last week to meet with me. I met with them on Friday, and I'm going to testify on their behalf, but I can tell you what they told me. Essentially, they've been doing their outreach with the residents to try to get a better feel for sort of what the desires of the neighborhood are. And they found out that the opinion on this topic of what they're trying to do is more split than they thought. So they have decided they probably need to go a little bit back to the drawing board and maybe reconsider their approach and what they're doing. Possibly could involve maybe bringing back some aspects of the trail and or park, or maybe some variation thereof, but they don't know exactly. So we had a discussion, and I told them if they don't know, and they don't know how long it's going to take them to figure it out, or perhaps maybe they just decide to go ahead with what was approved, then they wouldn't even need this application at all, that it's probably in their best interest, if they're not sure what they're going to do right now, that to just request the tabling. So obviously a difference between tabling and continuance is with a continuance, the hearing gets continued to a time, date, and place certain with the expectation the applicant will be ready and be back at that time to present you an updated application. The tabling is indefinite. Basically, it just will go away, and we will not be talking about it again until such time the applicant submits a request to untable the application and pay the tabling fee. We will go back through the public advertisement process, because obviously everyone here this evening will not know the next time this is going to be discussed, so we'll run the ad in the paper again, send the notices to all the affected properties, and go through that whole process. So I think it makes sense. I don't think the applicant wanted to waste any more of the commission's time, nor any more of time of the public's, not exactly knowing and trying to ferret out and have these discussions with the residents in a public setting doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, when I think they'd rather do that legwork behind the scenes and then hopefully come back either with a unified front idea, or come back and or they could withdraw the application and just say, we're just going to build what we originally had approved. That's another option that they have. Or they can continue with this application and say, nope, we've decided after all that we are still going to ask to have this removed. So the ball's sort of in their court. I know, unfortunately, a lot of people showed up this evening probably thinking that they're going to be able to make public comment. My recommendation to the commission would be to not accept public comment during the open public comment period for this hearing, because the applicant's not here to hear that testimony nor speak to that testimony, and out of fairness to the applicant. Because usually when people request a tabling or a continuance, they just assume there's not going to be any substantive discussion on the application. So the applicants usually do not show up. That said, we obviously cannot control anything that's said during the general public comment period. Typically that's for items not on the agenda. But so I don't really think I have any more to add. Unless there's a question, I'll throw it back to you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Mr.
Carter. I think you guys talked about this at a meeting before I came. Maybe I listened to, but how did they get in this? Do they normally build a playground or something like that early on, or do they say they're going to build it at a certain time, or how did they get into this situation?
So this section of Mirasol's in section two. The plan was platted in two different sections. Okay. So section one was the eastern end off of Worthington Road. That started several years ago. It may have even started before I started here, to be honest, or was just as I started. The playground was always in section two. We always try to encourage, and sometimes I even try to stipulate in multi-phase developments, that some of those improvements get done up front for the exact reason of why we're now dealing with this is because right. When they do wait too long, people moving in the neighborhood, they didn't know about it for whatever reason, and then it's a surprise, and sometimes
you might have mentioned before that they, even if they put a sign up said future site of
that. Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I've started putting those recommendations in current PRDs, because of these types of situations that arise. It's not the first time we've had an improvement that didn't go in right at first, and then residents started moving in, and then people decided they didn't want it or wanted to change it. We've seen this before, unfortunately.
Joe, a follow-up technical question.
Yes.
Is there a time frame that's been stipulated that we are aware of where the trail or this improvement that's in the master plan is to be completed? Is there a date?
Not in their approved materials. Now, I can tell you when it comes to zoning administration, if we get down to the last couple houses, the last couple permits for the houses, I'm going to start warning them that I will not be releasing these permits for these houses until we figure out what's happening here.
Here's my issue. I mean, they've pierced the veil of knowledge now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can't go back and just say, well, we're going to work on it, as far as I am concerned. I mean, there's a legitimate issue that's been presented, that they presented, that obviously they've determined mm-hmm. through their own due diligence is more than that. I just was wondering, do we have the right as the commission, or do you as, you know, the trustee's representative to let them know, albeit all fair, however, this must be resolved by X date. What you're talking about.
Yeah, sure. The commission doesn't. I have to some degree, you know, obviously I have to make sure I don't go too far in terms of how I exercise my executive administrative capabilities. Right. But I'll make it known. I mean, R&H has never been the type to just walk and not do something. They've been a good builder over the years. And like I said, I have the carrot, which is still they've got permits hanging out there for the houses. Plus, I imagine, I don't know if those improvements were bonded with the county or not, maybe because they're not roads or infrastructure, they may not have been. But obviously, the HOA, before it takes it over, is going to have the chance to vet the plans and make sure that what they're getting is they feel like the developers met all their obligations. And oftentimes, that's where stuff like that really will, the rubber will meet the road, is the HOA will start saying, nope, you got to do this, you got to fix it. Before we take this on and the liability and the, you know, the costs, we want to make sure you've met all your plan obligations. But yeah, my office is going to certainly stay on them to take care of this issue.
Thank you.
It needs to get done one way or the other.
So just an admin, can you send me the public comments? Because I wasn't on the board when I think probably public comments came in, because I've not seen any public comments.
Sure, yeah, we'll pull them together. I don't think there was a lot. Most of the public comment we've received has been the verbal comments during the hearing.
Yeah.
So that'll be available on the video if you want to review the audio or the video from that meeting, because I think you're right. I think that was the March meeting, you hadn't been done serving yet.
Yeah.
I make sure any written public comments we have, we get out to you.
Sorry. Yeah, they didn't even know there was an issue until the meeting.
Yeah, that was sort of the impression I got.
Yeah, they were on the impression that they could just give the money back to them, not build the pass in the playground, and then that's when the public comment came in, and they realized that there was a problem.
I don't know if the public's aware that we get all the emails, so if they send stuff to zoning, we get them. And that's a good way for them to get the information to us so we kind of understand what the public wants.
Yes, as long as they make it clear what the topic's about. So every once in a while, I'll get an email that's very vague in terms of what it's talking about. And if it doesn't have a subject in it, I can't just guess what it's about. So sometimes but if it mentions Mirasol or, you know, we want the playground, I know what it's about.
Thanks.
Motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would move to honor the tabling request of the applicant, Romanelli and Hughes, and indefinitely table the subject final development plan amendment application known as Mirasol Section 2, Perrin Lot 7967, and Perrin Zoning Commission Case Number 2022-01. I further move that in order for the application to be untabled and reconsidered by the Zoning Commission, the applicant be required to, at the time of untabling, make such a request to the zoning inspector, pay all applicable fees established within the Juneau Township zoning fee schedule, and submit any revised and or supplemented materials in accordance with the Zoning Commission's annual meeting schedule in effect. If so established, for clarification, an untabled application shall be re-noticed and re-advertised in accordance with Article 27 of the Juneau Township Zoning Resolution as may be amended.
Mr. Shaver?
Roll call, Mr. Bishop.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Welch.
Yes.
Mr. Leff.
Yes. Motion passes. This portion of the hearing is now closed at 7:14 p.m. Moving on to other business. Anything open right now?
I just had one.
Okay.
Since I didn't put it on the script, but. One thing, Joe.
Hey, for those who came, thank you. We apologize that these things happen, but we do appreciate you came, and it's a beautiful night, and you know, we...
The only comment I would make is, Joe, you received that letter email on Friday. A lot of us are on the email string, and we got the original notice of this meeting. It would have been nice if we would have gotten it.
Sure. So for the record, in case the audio didn't pick up, we got received a request that since I got the information on Friday that it be sent out to the residents. The reason I can't honor that request is because I am just serving the administrative capacity in this role. I can't presuppose how the commission's going to view it. Technically, the commission could have denied that request. Very unlikely, but they could have. So it would have been disingenuous of me to tell you this application's been denied, or requested a tabling. Don't come to the meeting. I can never tell a member of the public not to come to the meeting. Sure, I appreciate that feedback.
Okay.
This feedback.
Thank you.
I would still like to make a comment. Can you wait till we get to public comment?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
The item I had might entail some discussion, so Mr. Chairman, do you want to perhaps, we could always let the public comment.
That's fine, we can change our order. Public comment.
I just didn't, they've already sat long enough.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Thank you very much, I appreciate that. I guess given this conversation.
I'm sorry, name and address?
Sandy Stroot, Stroot, 4477 Speranza Loop. And I know I'm not officially making comments about this, hearing topic.
It's okay.
But I think I just need to understand a process, if I may. Our house is probably the one most affected by this decision. We built a house, we were told we had green space on the south side, we were told we had green space in the back, it was on the sales materials and the graph documents that we received and that were posted in the sales room. It was marketed to us in that way. So we purchased a house and have beautiful windows on the side and beautiful windows in the back. We moved in November. In January, we got the letter saying that they were going to remove the proposal for the playground in the path. Of course, that didn't happen. So we've been trying to follow the rules and stay within the system to try to understand what recourse we might have. There was a vote this past 2 weeks. The vote was, I just asked Jim right before we came, the vote was 26 in favor of taking the money that it would be used for the playground and putting into the HOA, and 17 who now want a playground. I thought the majority would rule, and I don't understand the system. So I guess my question is, if Jim Olin, on behalf of Romanell and Hughes, withdraws, I'm sorry, I don't know the language, the proposal, what happens? Just nothing? They just build the playground? Because we were told something very, very different. And in fact, some of the people here, we were all told different stories depending on which lot they were marketing to us. The woman across the street from us was told there would be a path in the lot we have, so chose not to have it. Our argument is that if you want to build a playground and a path, just make it transparent so the people who buy the lot would know that I'm going to have a playground for my kids and I don't have to worry about it. It's going to be in my backyard. That's not us. We have a ranch home and there are two of us living in there. We don't have children. And although I love children, I don't want to look out at my kitchen window at a playground. So I don't understand the recourse that we might have. Is there none within Genoa Township? Is it all with Romanell and Hughes?
Joe?
Yeah, I'm happy to answer that. So Mirasol's zoning and development approvals date back to, like I said, prior to my time here. And I've been here 6.5 years.
2019 is the proposal, latest proposal I saw with the playground.
But I'm talking about the original final development plans date back to probably pre-2015, if not before. So the plans, again, this is before my time, but I believe that the final plans had some sort of iteration or of a trail and playground system in them. At their time, the original final development plan was approved by the township. It's always been in Section 2, and it's always been in that central green space in Section 2. Now, what's happened was when the plans went to engineering for Section 2, the layout of the lots, how they're oriented in that green space, and in fact, that whole section around Section 2 had to get, they got revised a little bit without having come back to the Zoning Commission because of final engineering needs at the county level dealing with drainage and stormwater. So that's what got platted, was the engineering's office's revisions to that Section 2. But it still incorporated a trail improvements in that open space. It was just the lots sort of moved around. And then the improvements were subsequently moved around to reflect that. The applicant has thought about making some changes to the layout of the trail system and playground over the time, where they exactly went, how it looped and all that. But it's always been, to some degree, a trail and some sort of play system. It wasn't until the last several months, maybe last year, when I always knew the applicant was considering maybe just not doing them. They always mentioned that. And I've had numerous discussions with them over the years about this topic. And it was last year, I think, they said, you know, we think we just don't want to do it, and we think the neighborhood doesn't, we're hearing from the neighborhood that they don't want it. So I said, that's your choice. I've already administratively approved several changes in that plan. I said, you're to the point now, especially because you're just totally removing something. I'm not comfortable administratively approving that. I want you to go back in front of the commission. And I am very thankful I did, because of, we can see it wasn't quite as I said, perhaps not as unanimous as an opinion as they thought. Regarding what homeowners were taught told when they were bought homes, the township, that's a private matter between you and Romanelli and Hughes. I can't opine on that. The commission can't advise you regards to next steps. Especially if you start talking legal matters, those are topics the commission nor myself, the township, really can get involved with. They're private civil matters between you and whom you purchased the home from. As it stands right now, if Romanelli and Hughes decided to just withdraw this application, my office's expectation is that playground and path will go in, because that's what's on the approved development plans. But that's why they're going through this process. They're making the request to see can they pull it out, or maybe now, as I said, do a modified version of it. But that's all the commission is being asked. They're just being asked by Romanelli and Hughes, does the commission, and possibly the trustees, depending on how things go, grant the developer to revise their plans that they originally had designed, they originally had approved in some form, Joe, several years ago.
For the record, what would happen? Worst case scenario, comes to the end, they're coming down to the final development, and we get to the point where you're at, where you're forced to make a decision whether on giving them the permits that they would be required to build, because that was in the build the pathway and the playground, because that's what's in the original development plan, correct?
Yeah, so the tools I have at my disposal are, number one, I can try to withhold any of the final zoning permits as long as I am legally permitted to do so. The other tool I have at my disposal is the approved development plan is a zoning document. It'd be a zoning violation.
If they did that, as of right now, if they did not build the path and the playground, it would be a violation.
Without getting approval to amend the plans, correct.
Okay.
Because I am not willing to administratively sign off on that change.
Yeah. If I may add, Chairman and Joe, our role is to take what Joe just said and measure it against if there's still congruence with our master plan, all the documents that we have, our ordinances, my word, but you know, for lack of better terms. And then if there's any harm in a change, or if there's any positive in a change. And that's why I've said, and again, we can't provide you legal guidance, none of that type of data. We're just civilians just like you that are kind of volunteering to look at these things. But of course, you know, you have in your mindset a legitimate claim, and you know there's a variety of civil proceedings that you could wish to take to have that addressed, but it would not be here. We want to listen to what you have to say, and it sounds like it's a very close situation that probably isn't over yet, to Joe's point earlier. But appreciate you presenting it in the way that you did, because we hear you.
Thank you.
Is there a third option? Is there a green space somewhere else? Like, you know, like at the Vinmars at the very end, there's tons of green space. Could they put the playground down?
It's an option. Possibly. It's an option I know they've looked at before. I know I don't want to get too much back into the application since we technically closed the hearing. I can tell you they have looked at that option, and it seems like every time they talk to a neighbor who's living next to the area they think about moving it to, they get the same, that's great, but not next to me.
I thought maybe there's something that's isolated enough, far enough back that would be.
I know they've looked at some stuff, but they just can't seem to find, but that's why they're going back to the drawing board. But yes, I mean, theoretically, yeah, that is an option they could consider.
So in general, just from a process standpoint, they submitted something for a rezoning for that property with a preliminary development plan. It went through the commission at that time, so 2015 or earlier.
Yeah, probably even before that.
Once that passes the commission, then it goes to the Board of Trustees. Then they come back at some point for final development plan. It gets through this committee again. It goes to the trustees again. And then at that point, then they can start applying for building permits and those types of things. So it gets through two rounds. And that's why we're such sticklers over what is actually shown on the plan before we even send it to the trustees to make sure that this is what they say they're going to do, how they're going to build it, when they're going to build it, what, and all that timing. So it's a clean, we call a clean copy, and it's a actual development plan, because if we go back through other iterations of communities, such as my own, it's 900 pages of final development plan because it's so many copies that never really was the final. And so we want to have, this is the one copy. And so that's what Joe's able to hold people to, and what's a zoning violation. And so on that plan shows a pass system and a playground.
So there's no accountability from the township on how they market that plan. They can market it.
From a marketing perspective, no.
How they may choose.
That's, yep. And unfortunately, you know, if you've got documentation, again, that's a between you and Romanelli issue.
Okay.
But in order them to get final permits, they've got to meet those requirements that are laid out in that final development plan.
Thank you.
Okay.
I always try to make sure whenever I'm talking to newer prospective residents, I always try to encourage people, or people who I get calls from people who are looking at homes moving in the community. We always encourage people to pull development plans and plats for neighborhoods they're looking to move into, because there's a lot of times very vital information and it's not marked on a sign or there's not a postmark. It's a line on a piece of paper, but it can be a very important line on a piece of paper, such as easements and conservation setbacks and whatnot. So those documents are always public record. They're either recorded at the county recorder's office, which in case of the plats, or in terms of the final development zoning plans, we have them on file at our office. So I guess just for the benefits of anyone listening at home or watching this, you can always request copies of those documents. Even copies of the old zoning permits from when your house was built. The further we go back, the less likely there is that we may have it, but we have a lot of them. So it's always good research for people to do when they're looking to purchase a home.
Thank you.
Thank you. More public comment? Nope. Okay, we'll close that. We'll go back to other business. Joe, back to you.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mentioned in another email, which I hope everyone got, the trustees have decided to pursue a RFQ to hire an attorney to provide zoning legal services. This is an outgrowth, this sort of spurred off of their review of the Hoover overlay that is in their laps now. But I will be clear, the RFQ isn't specifically just about the Hoover overlay. Their review, they've raised some potential things that they're kicking around, possibly lowering the density, maybe trying to build in some more preservation standards, a couple other things. But it raised some questions. They've also want to make sure that is the right solution for the township. So what they're trying to do is making sure that they're evaluating any possible alternatives as part of those discussions before they adopt it. So they just don't want to leave any stone unturned. And as part of that process, it raised some questions that I didn't feel comfortable answering myself, not being an attorney, that I felt like were more legal in nature. And so one of the trustees had been provided the name of an attorney who specializes in some zoning work in Delaware County. So they thought about bringing that individual on, and then the board decided it was probably best to make sure to do an RFQ to solicit, because obviously there's more than one attorney in the region that does this type of work, just to make sure that they're hiring the right firm or person to do this work. So that's the purpose of the RFQ. I think I heard a question beforehand, why not do an RFP? I think that's because the scope of what they're looking for is pretty broad, and there's just a lot of questions that they have. I'm not sure there's like necessarily a deliverable they're looking for at this point in regards to something like this. So that's why it's not an RFP, because it's mostly they want to be able to ask someone questions. And with this type of thing, the board does have the right to go into executive session for certain things, even legal matters, but this isn't a pending lawsuit. So it just to ask an attorney legal zoning questions is not something they can do in executive session. So they have to do it in public session. And so that's why they've gone down the route that they have. And I'm supportive of it. I felt like there were some questions that they want answers to that I think really only someone with a legal background could provide them. And they decided they wanted to go find I don't think they're speaking ill of the prosecutor's office. I think they just wanted to perhaps get maybe a specialist.
Joe, question, have they determined the qualifications, because they do need to do this for the RFQ? I
mean, yeah, the RFQs.
Have they defined, I guess, provisions is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's about 12 scoring. It's very brief RFQ,
gotcha.
but the scoring system is posted on the website. There's about 12 points that they're going to review.
Gotcha.
So those are due to me by the end of this month. I will start scoring them, and I don't know if I have the scoring done by the time the trustees meet for the regular meeting on June 2nd, but I'll at least provide them an update. But I know they're very eager to get this going. They want to make a decision one way or the other, whether they're going to adopt the overlay or pursue an alternative, but they want to be able to make that decision because they know time is of the essence.
Can I plant a bug in the board's ears via you?
Sure.
And I've worked with Mr. Fowler on other cases before he came to the civil division side, and I have all the respect in the world for Mark, but zoning is a specialized enough beast that I agree with the trustees. We need somebody that lives and eats zoning, but in their considerations, could this person be available to the zoning commission for
my next question? Yeah,
consultation. It may certainly help.
Sure, I can bring that up to them. I'm sure they'd be interested to hear that.
Good idea.
Yeah, I tried to write the RFQ ad relatively broad, sort of like it's sort of almost the anything and everything regarding the zoning. Just, you know, looking at the big picture, strategic view, sort of trying to understand what we can and can't do. I think that a couple of the trustees do have some specific questions, but I'll mention to that the commission has expressed interest in talking to this individual as well.
I wasn't here for the Hoover overlay discussion, but one of my questions was, have they determined if there's a development plan approved, is there a referendum? Are you allowed to do a referendum to the public?
That's one of the questions.
Okay.
I can tell you the way I wrote it, my intent was to not get rid of the right to referendum of PRD rezoning.
Right, I understand that, but I just want to know.
Yeah, the question is that how we, you know, is the way we wrote it good enough to make sure that that's what it does?
Yeah, I'd heard lots of stuff about you can't, and that was part of the overlay thing. So.
No, I mean, I can tell you that was, I tried to write it to make sure we didn't accidentally get rid of it.
Because in your briefings on this, it says the referendum is allowed, I believe.
Yeah, because that's how I wrote it. I basically said all rezonings of the base district are subject to Article 27 and rezonings of legislative acts. So I felt like it was there, but certainly if there's any question, I want to make sure an attorney looks at that verbiage and make sure we're writing what we think we're writing. That's one of the reasons.
One of the things in that information that you put out, it talks about that the Hoover overlay will lower density.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's necessarily a true statement. If you look at the long history of density here, that's not true. Only in 2019 was the density raised to 2.2. Of course, it says maximum. And so I don't think we should put it out that way necessarily, you know, because it can be 1.65 is not a hard number. I mean, it could be changed by anybody, right?
I think what we wrote is factually accurate, because the number in the zoning resolution since they changed it 20 so years ago has been 1.8, 2.2. So we are lowering the number in the zoning resolution applicable to PRDs to a lower number. I understand how the older version of the comprehensive plan had some different numbers, but I think factually speaking, it all depends on the numbers you're comparing it to. And this is a zoning amendment, so I compare it to the numbers in the zoning resolution. Yeah. Factually speaking, the numbers in the overlay being proposed are lower than the numbers in Article 9.
And Mr. Carter, we've gone through this ad nauseum in the past, sure. So we probably have some data if you'd like to review it. You know,
yeah,
rather
well,
than,
I know there's you know the ones, all the developers, you know, everybody listened to what was in the comprehensive plan. I know that big discussion happened, but that's what everybody honored. And that's what, if you came into this township and bought here 10 years ago, that's what you were told. And if you read developers' notes, it would say, according to Chapter 4 of the Comprehensive Plan, Planning Area 4 is 0.75, and you know you have to have this, and you know 5 is 1.35. I'm just saying it's not necessarily a truthful statement that it's really is being lowered from, you know, what's in the zoning resolution. Yes, but then we should go ahead and add the other part that you're talking about the comprehensive plan.
Therein lies the issue. Over the past 10 years, there's been an Ohio Supreme Court decision. Comprehensive plans are not binding. They're not law. The only binding guidelines as to density are what's in the zoning. We could adopt the guidelines of the comprehensive plan as the zoning regulation, but the zoning regulation is what is binding. And it is my understanding, and I could be wrong, that to say, well, this is what we're going to follow as a comprehensive plan is illegal. We have to go by what's in the zoning regulations. And yes, there may be a discrepancy between what was in the comprehensive plan and what's in the zoning regulations now, but to Joe's point, if we want to change the zoning regulations, then that's what we need to do.
Oh, I agree 100%. But I never found anything that said that the comprehensive plan didn't count. You know, the Ohio Revised Code says you shall zone in accordance with a comprehensive plan and a zoning resolution. And our zoning resolution said all developments will be done in accordance with a comprehensive plan. So the zoning resolution said, look at the comprehensive plan and look at the densities. And I don't want to get into the whole huge discussion because I never found a lawsuit that said comprehensive plans didn't count. There were times when if you didn't have a comprehensive plan, you had a zoning resolution, it could be implied you had a comprehensive plan, but there was nothing that said the comprehensive plan wasn't due. My point is, what we're telling the public is not exactly, yeah, maybe it's, yeah, in the zoning resolution, always said maximum of 2.2, but then we also have to look at, you know, like zonings in different areas, like the last case we looked at. You know, we can't say you can build a 2.2 next in zoning area 5 because that's not true. You know, it, very specifically in the zoning resolution and the comprehensive plan, it says like densities, and, you know, it talks about how it affects the community and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just saying it's a little more complicated than saying, oh, we lowered in the zoning resolution without addressing these other situations.
I'm not going to obviously argue the point that the number in the overlay is higher than some of the numbers from the older iteration of the comprehensive plan, but I'm not sure it would be prudent to compare numbers in the overlay to a version of the comprehensive plan that hasn't been in effect since the trustees amended it back in 2019. I understand there was a lot of
plans codified, so the old plan doesn't matter.
I understand there's a lot of passion surrounding this issue, and there was a lot of disagreement, frankly, among some on that change in the comprehensive plan. But the change was adopted, so I can't get involved with some of the discussions about whether that was the right or wrong change. As far as I
don't
consider it in the administrative capacity, it happened. I can only deal with the documents that were adopted. So I can't get involved with the was that the right or wrong decision. I have to march forward. I agree to Mr. Welch's point. The law is ever evolving in regards to comprehensive plans and zoning resolution. And furthermore, one of the big sticking points with the comprehensive plan and using the numbers is the Ohio Revised Code almost says nothing about what a comprehensive plan is, or how you adopt it. So all we have mostly to go is case law and sort of just how people have always done it. The big rub with that is you can't just adopt a law. If theoretically the trustees could just change the comprehensive plan during the regular meeting, just say, we're just going to change it without any public hearings, any public comment, without any public notice. If they just start changing numbers in the comprehensive plan and then enforcing that as law, they've essentially adopted a law without going through any of the public hearing process, legislative process to do that, which would be very problematic and would likely get thrown out if you ever tried to enforce it. So that's why, number one, whenever we do comprehensive plan updates, we always treat them like an public hearing. So we do the public comment, so we do the advertisements. But again, it's not considered... mean, my teach, everything I hear at the legal teachings is it's not considered the legally enforceable document. So, frankly, in my assessment of how the township was doing things, and I'm not saying, I don't want to pass judgment on people who were here before us and why they made the decisions they did all those years ago. In my assessment, since I've been here, the township had it backwards. The number in the zoning resolution should have never been higher than what the number in the comprehensive plan was. People ask, well, how do other communities get away with putting, using numbers in the comprehensive plan? It's because they're not backwards. The high, they have a lower number in their zoning resolution that doesn't conflict with their comprehensive plan. So the comprehensive plan, the zoning resolution says you can do this, but then the comprehensive plan says because of X, Y, and Z, we will entertain a higher density in this area. That was the way it probably should have been done, because that would have avoided all of this conflict, because then there would have been consistency, and then to get to that higher number, someone would have had to ask for a divergence to get up to that higher number, with their justification being it's the comprehensive plan. Now, there's, whenever you grant a divergence, there's always a little bit, you know, legal, you know, issues going on there, so you have to be careful. It's not a fail-safe, but to me, if we were going to go down that route, I mean, that's been my assessment really for a long time here. And I never thought the removing of the numbers out of the comprehensive plan was probably going to be a long-term solution. We just knew it was a problem and was causing a lot of confusion in the community, because people would come in and say, well, the comprehensive plan says this, and you had to keep trying to explain. Well, I know, but that's, when the rubber meets the road, we can't do
we
that.
We abided by the comprehensive plan, Joe. I mean, we always did until that was brought up. And that's my only point. I get the whole thing about the zoning resolution taking precedence, and I don't want to belabor it, but I think we should look at, you know, be careful what we tell people about this 1.65 thing, you know, just because, you know, if we voted in 1.65, everybody in planning area 2, 3, and 4, and it's going to have, you know, everybody that bought there 4 years ago when they thought it was, you know, 0.75 is not going to have 1.65.
Well, theoretically, when they bought it, it's always been 2.2.
It's always been 2.2.
Yeah. As long as sewer can be for, well, since 2019, the number's been 2.2. So,
okay. There's a, the zoning resolution is the zoning resolution.
The resolution it's, also said you had to develop with accordance with the comprehensive plan.
Well, I think we're
okay. Okay.
We're yeah. I know we're going right. around. But my point is
the comprehensive plan could be changed. The zoning resolutions have to be codified through process.
Well, then they should have changed that in the zoning resolution, not said
it's not what it is. It has to be justifiable.
It's just not what it is.
We can't just come up with an arbitrary number and say this is the number.
It's just not
so
what
we've
it is.
That's why we've had so many conversations about it, to come up with a reasonable number. And that's why the overlay is the number that it is, because it is a justifiable and defensible number. Mm-hmm. If we just throw out another number, and one of our trustee members knows it very well because of the zoning that he does and the building, it's, if you make it too restrictive, then we've got other issues. And so we've got to come up with a good number, and Joe and team did a wonderful job of getting us to where we are. And that's why we sent that back to the trustees. So back to that point, where do we stand? There, it's now in limbo at this point. So the overlay is just with the trustees. It's in limbo until the lawyer, I'm going to get back to what you're originally talking about.
Yeah, so they had an update meeting last week on Tuesday. I provided them an update, and we had a little more conversation. And then the RFQ got approved during the regular meeting on Thursday, because we're technically talking about those two things in two different meetings, because, like I said, the RFQ is related to the Hoover overlay, but it may end up, there's a potential it could go a different direction and involve more than the Hoover overlay. So the Hoover overlay is part of the RFQ, but it's not the totality of it, if that makes any sense. So the trustees' next regular meeting is on June 2nd. They did continue the Hoover overlay to that June 2nd meeting, again, for up to basically sort of see where things stand with the RFQ, and then determine. They weren't sure how far out to schedule that next meeting, because they don't know how things are going to proceed with their RFQ, so they're trying to do a balancing act right now. So on June 2nd, they're going to see where things stand with the RFQ, so then during the Hoover hearing, they can figure out how they want to schedule and move forward on that.
Is there a time limit on the initiation of that, when it was initiated?
The Hoover overlay, is there a time limit to get it adopted? No, once the board has opened its hearing, I think we've sort of met all of our obligations procedurally at this point. The board can basically take as many meetings now, really, as they feel necessary, especially because we're the applicant, you know, for lack of a better term. There's no one sitting over there with money riding on this, to speak.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. We talked about this once before, and it just was when we thought about it. Because Hoover is technically managed by the city of Columbus, do they have a stake in
this next iteration of the Hoover overlay?
Not really. I mean,
they don't have any developable land.
They just have the municipality of the management of the water.
Well, but I mean, I take that back. They have the park over there.
School district. The school district via the city. But they enjoy the old municipal exemption, so okay. Essentially not.
So it's just, okay, I was just wondering. I mean, it's...
I do know the city rolled out some updated revised rules in regards that they mailed out to people, I think, who live next to the water. I think there's been some changes. Okay. I think if they're trying to go back to you can't cut anything, is from what I heard. We got some calls on it, and we tried to tell people, you know, that's... We didn't get a copy of it, or at least I didn't get a copy of it, so I don't know what it says. If you got questions about that, we advise people to contact... The city.
Good luck. That makes it less complex, that's for sure. Well, we look forward to hearing how the RFQ goes.
Yeah, so I'll keep you updated on that. Your meeting's on the 13th, so it won't be right after. So I'll try to remember to at least shoot out an email to let you know sort of what the board ends up doing on the 2nd, so you can keep up to date.
Do you have other items?
Today was the rezoning application deadline. We didn't receive anything, so you'll have no rezonings for the June meeting. The deadline for any development or final development plans, final development plan amendments, as well as any revisions from prior meetings, which the only one out there right now is Courtyards of Big Walnut, is a week from today, so I'll know by the end of next Monday where things stand. I fully expect we'll get revised plans from Courtyards of Big Walnut. Things seem to be in motion there.
Were you able to have the conversation with Mr. Fowler?
No, not yet.
Okay.
This is a very busy time of the year for Mr. Fowler because he's also counsel for the Board of Elections. So there was a big event last week that has kept him occupied.
He'll have another one.
Yes.
Very quickly.
No one seems to know the lines. So,
taxpayers' expense, no less. So
so we'll see what happens there. But I have a post-it note hanging on my computer to make sure I get a hold of him one way or the other.
So we are to the public comment. Next meeting will be June 13th here in the Township Hall, 7 o'clock. We have the scheduled June 21st site walk if we have materials by the 16th. Does anybody have any other open items? Do I have a motion?
So move to adjourn.
I will second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Good. Meeting ended, 7:48 p.m.